beautiful song, isn't it? And it, as it ends, it says, I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. You know, home is a special place, isn't it? We think about home a lot, and Christmas seems to be a time when families get together. I know we've got a lot of folks going right now and traveling and getting together with family and friends. And it's just a great time to do that. As we look in the book of John this morning, we're going to look at one verse of Scripture. We're going to look at John's version of the Christmas story. He doesn't say a whole lot about the birth of Jesus, but he gives us one verse here. We get a lot more detail in Matthew and Luke. But in John chapter 1, he says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. As we begin to look at Jesus Christ, who left the glory of heaven to come to this earth, He was born of a virgin. He was laid in a manger. He lived a special life, a very perfect life as he lived and He died and He rose again. And we're going to be talking about these things as we go through the Scripture this morning. But we want to talk about home for a little bit. We want to think about home. We see that Jesus left His home. There's a lot of times in the Scripture. There's a lot of times as we look at our lives, we're away from home, and home is a special place. Home should be a place of love. Would y'all agree with that? Home should be a place of love, and it's a place where God's love should be seen and expressed by those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It should be a great place of love, and Christmas should be a time where that agape love of God shines out as much as any other time of the year. And if we can let that love shine at Christmas, then it begins to grow in our hearts and our homes throughout the year. That should show up that way. Agape love is real love. It's not just love that's talked about. It's not just love that's spoken about. We talk about loving people. We talk about loving each other. We talk about the love that we have for different things, different people. But agape love is more than just saying, I love you. We talk about this many times, but we need that reminder in our lives. God is love, and His love is shown to us. It's not just said, God just doesn't sit in heaven and say, I love you, but you're on your own. Aren't you glad? God didn't sit there in heaven and say, I love you, but I'm not going to do anything for you. He did something. Despite our turning from Him, despite our choice to go against His Word and His will, our choice to sin, our choice to go against who He is. The Bible says that before we came to know Him as our Lord and Savior, we were enemies of God. We were fighting against Him, not for Him. In spite of that, He shows His love for us through Jesus Christ. He gives all that He has for us. It's a love that gives even when nothing is received back. Most people that think about love is, I'm going to do for somebody as much as they do for me. I'm going to take care of somebody as much as they take care of me. God's love, agape love, a Christian's love for family, for friends, for our church family, it should go beyond that, shouldn't it? We should love others whether they do anything for us or not. We should love them even when they hurt us, even when they despise us, even when they talk about us behind our backs, even when they hurt our feelings. Has anybody ever hurt your feelings? You know, they're looking at me like, now, don't go there. So folks, you know, sometimes we get our feelings hurt, don't we? We like to think that we're not, we're tough. Oh, that didn't bother me. You ever said those words? Well, that didn't bother me. That didn't matter. Well, we know in our hearts it actually did. Sometimes it hurts. You think you ever hurt God's feelings? With our attitudes, with our actions, with our words? Have you ever hurt God's feelings? Aren't you glad He doesn't give up on us? He doesn't quit on us? Folks, agape love should show, and it should shine in our lives and to the world all around us. It should show up in our homes. Folks, if it doesn't show up in our homes with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, it's going to be awfully hard to show it to a world out there that doesn't care anything about us. Would y'all agree with that? Folks, God's love is real. God's love is powerful. God's love is important in our lives. As we think of Christmas, as we get together with family, we have an opportunity to share the love of Christ in some very real ways. We have an opportunity to show our family what Jesus really means to us and get focused in on who He is. I've shared with you, I have a cousin that passed away a number of years ago. And up until recently, I had no assurance that she had ever accepted Christ. But in talking with her mom before she passed away, she assured me that Selena had accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, that she had gotten things right with God. But I'm still praying for her brother. But I have had the opportunity to talk with him. Folks, so many times I talk with people, I share with people. People that have come to church, people that have been in church all their lives. And their parents have not sat down and talked with them about a relationship with Jesus Christ and what that means. We tend to think that if people want to get it, they'll get it at church. They'll hear the preacher talk about it. And folks, I love to talk about Jesus. I love to share Jesus. I love to preach Him from the pulpit. I love to talk about Him to people as individuals. But folks, they need to hear it from you. They need to know in your home that Jesus is first and foremost. Home. A place of love. Home is a place of service. It's a place of service. When we look at Jesus, we see the Master Servant. We see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We see God Himself who has come to this earth not to sit on the throne, not to have people wait on Him hand and foot, but what did He do? He served. He gave of Himself. He spent time with people. And what does it mean to serve people? It means to meet needs. To meet needs. The needs of their lives. Sometimes it's a listening ear. Sometimes it's an encouraging word. Sometimes it's help in a situation. Meeting needs. You know, meeting needs of others is important in our lives. Jesus tried to express that to His disciples. His disciples were His family as He walked here on this earth and ministered. They became very close to Him. So it's just like our church family is our family. We don't need to forget that either. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus washed their feet. He provided for their needs. He provided for their food. He tried to bring them comfort and peace and hope and help. He worked in great ways so that they could see and know who He is and will always be. Folks, in our lives, we need to be servants. We don't need to be afraid to get our hands dirty, do we? We don't need to be afraid to do the things that the rest of the world thinks we're crazy for doing. If we're loving others, we're serving others. You see how those work together? If we're loving others, then we're meeting needs. We're following the example that Jesus set for us. We're reaching out and we're ministering in the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to serve in our hearts. We need to serve each other. We learn in the Word of God that a husband is supposed to serve his wife. A wife is supposed to serve her husband. We serve our children. We teach our children service, hopefully. And they begin to serve us. And they begin to serve others. They begin to serve in the church. They begin to serve in the community. They begin to serve through their workplace. They begin to serve in ways that the world does not understand. Because this is what I want us to get a grasp of and really begin to hold on to is we're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. And we're not supposed to sound like the world. We're supposed to stand out and be different. We're supposed to be a light in the darkness. We should attract attention to ourselves, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is within us as we love and as we serve. It's a place of love. It's a place of service. And folks, it is a place of forgiveness. Of forgiveness. There's no telling how many people I sit down with to talk about that word, forgiveness, through the years. Forgiveness seems to be very difficult for us. But once we accept Jesus Christ, it should be something that becomes a natural part of everything that we do in our lives. We are forgiving. We are forgiving as people are ugly to us, as they talk about us, as they hurt us. We still offer them forgiveness. Why? Because we have been forgiven. We know what it means to be offered forgiveness before we ask. We know the greatest forgiveness that's ever been given. We have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and you're holding on to something against somebody, this morning I want you to pray about that. I want you to take a look at that in your life and in your heart. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "How many times should we forgive? Seven? Seven's enough? Seven sounds like a good number. Somebody hurts me seven times. Shouldn't that be enough?" And Jesus said, "Not seven, but 70 times seven." Now he's not saying 490 specifically there. What he's saying is, as many times as they hurt you, forgive them. As many times as they do you wrong, forgive them. We like the Lord's Prayer, don't we? We like to pray the Lord's Prayer. We think about how many times do we really think about the words that we're praying? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Why did we go there? What are we actually praying there? Is God, I want you to forgive me just like I forgive others. Now, how many of us really want that? That's a strong word, John. Now, when we begin to pray those words, we're saying, God, I want you to forgive me just like I forgive other people. actually what we want is, God, I want you to forgive me whether I forgive or not. God, I want you to forgive me quicker than I forgive other people. God, I want you to forgive me fully. Because what do we want God to do? We want God to forgive and forget. What I've noticed a lot of times with forgiveness today with people is this. We're willing to forgive in word until something else happens and we bring it back up again. And this is what I try to remind folks when we sit down and talk about forgiveness. That when you forgive, that means it's in the past. I talk to couples about this. If you're, you know, fighting in a marriage is going to happen from time to time in most cases. And it's okay as long as you fight fair. That's what I always tell folks. As long as you fight fair. That means this. When you forgive somebody, when you're arguing about this down the road, you don't bring this back up to the past that you have forgiven. Because if you bring that up, what that's saying is, I have never forgiven you of that. I've never let it go. I'm still holding on. And it's a battle because Satan's going to try to remind us. And he's going to try to get us to hold on to things. But folks, we need to be forgiving in our hearts. And move forward in this life and not backwards. We need to be growing up. And moving forward in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be forgiving. Home is a special place. Now, growing up, Christmas was a special time. My mom loved Christmas like nobody else I know. She loved Christmas time. Birthdays were good times, but they weren't Christmas. Christmas was big. Christmas was special. Christmas was family. Christmas was a time where mom would and even after Dad passed away and all of us boys had left home, when we would come home, there would be a tree in almost every room of the house, decorated. Mom had nutcrackers. They were from about 4 feet tall down to small, and they were all over the place. She had decorations everywhere, lights everywhere. When you drove up, it didn't matter what time of the day, the lights were on. It was Christmas time. We normally did our big Christmas stuff on Christmas Eve, the family meals and all of that. One year, I was pastoring and had a funeral on Christmas Eve. Couldn't get home. My younger brother was very angry. He was frustrated with me. I was supposed to be home. Home was special. Christmas was special. Funny thing is that when he moved to New York, Christmas moved from Christmas Eve to New Year's Day because that's when he could get home. But see, Christmas wasn't about December 25th. Christmas was about Jesus. Christmas was about family. And it was a very special time. Almost 3 years ago, Mom passed away. Y'all know the house burned, and we got no, don't have home to go back to. And many of you remember home, where you grew up. You remember home as a place you could go to. And all that changed for us. We still get together, and my brothers and I will be getting together after Christmas this year. But it's different. It's different. Home changed. Home's not Winfield, Alabama anymore. Home is Wilsonville, Alabama. all of a sudden, I'm the grandparent. Life has changed. Home has changed. But Christmas is still special. Family is still special. Look with me over into the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're just going to read those first five verses here. He says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child." First Christmas. Mary and Joseph. They're away from home. They're not in the safety and comfort of their own homes. Caesar Augustus has called for the census to be taken. Joseph has to get up, and he has to travel 80 miles. He and Mary travel. Nine months pregnant. Can you ladies imagine? 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey, walking, traveling 80 miles to get to where you're going. And you get there, and there's no place to stay. No rooms that are open. This has always been kind of amazing to me. Because Joseph's in the line of David. That's why he's come to Bethlehem. So you know he's got family in Bethlehem. They're there. They're there for the same reason he's there. But where do they put them? They put them out in the barn. Out in the stable. Probably a little cave and in the side of a hill there with rocks around it. Kind of sheltered in a little bit. Sheep. Goats, chickens, cows. Can you imagine? Camels. Not the cleanest place for a baby to be born. Don't you know that they would have been much more comfortable back in Nazareth? Back in their own home? All cleaned up and ready and prepared for the baby to arrive. But that's not the way it happened. They're away from home. And Jesus is born. And he's laid in a trough. Where the animals eat. Now I've got a grandson that's 6 months old. 6 months. 6 weeks old. We try to keep him clean. We try to lay him on clean blankets. We try to have him in clean clothes. Here they are, away from home. Mary's a teenager. She's probably a little scared, wouldn't you think? But they got the comfort of God. But I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about Jesus for just a minute. Not only is he born away from what's going to be his earthly home in Nazareth, he has left heaven to be born here on this earth. He's left heaven where everything is perfect. Where there is no sin, there is no sorrow, there is no hurt. He has left heaven where angels take care of his every need. Come to this earth full of sin, full of darkness, full of hatred, full of unforgiveness, lacking love, lacking compassion, Here is Jesus who has left all of that to come to this earth for you and for me. He left his home to come to this earth to be abused, to be ridiculed, to be beaten, to be crucified because of our sin. He left total comfort to come to total pain. He left the place of total love to come to a place where people didn't like him, they didn't want him, they didn't care that he was there. He left his home in heaven. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. God loves you. And if you don't remember anything else about Christmas this year, remember this. God loves you. Let's make that real personal right now. And I want you to say it with me. God loves me. Can you say that? God loves me. Wow. How does that make you feel? Think about it this morning. God tells you He loves you every day. God shows you He loves you every day. God ministers to you. He's working for you. He cares about you. He knows what's going on in your life and in your heart and in your home. He knows the struggles that you are having. He's not surprised by any of the things that are going on in our lives right now. Some of us have been surprised. We've been caught off guard. Things have happened that we were not looking for, that we did not expect. For some, 2017 has been a great year. For some, 2017 has knocked people off their feet. God loves you. He cares about you. He left His home to suffer so that you could have eternal life. Think about Christmas. You think about what He is doing, what He has done, how He is working. Don't you realize this? Jesus longs for you to have a home in heaven. See, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we begin to realize this earthly home is temporary. It doesn't matter what I build up in this home, one day I'm going to leave it behind. One day it's going to fall apart. One day it's not going to be there anymore. One day all these things that I've worked for, they're going to be somebody else's. Or they're going to be just gone. All these things that I have put my hope and my dreams in, there's only one thing that lasts. Only one thing that matters. And His name is Jesus. He is eternal. And He offers eternal life to each one of us. As I look around this room, about everybody in this room has accepted Jesus Christ. And if I'm wrong about that, don't let what I say stand in your way of coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because He's also given your life to Jesus. But for those of us that know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we know we're going home. See, I miss my mom. But I don't long for her to be back here. Because I know where she is. She is whole. Christmas for her is much better than what Christmas is for me. Because she sees Jesus face to face. She sees him. She is with him. And one day I know I'm going to join. Because I know when Jesus calls, I'm going home. But I know a lot of people that are not. I know a lot of people that are not going home as of today. And that could change. It could change today. It could change in a moment. And I've got neighbors living around me that need to know Jesus. They don't. They need to. I talk with them. I share with them. We've got a community full of people right now. A community full of people that don't know Jesus. I need someone to invite them to come home. Come home. You know, Leanne and I have started opening up our house more and more and more. Just try to reach out and show the love of Christ with what God has given to us. I feel like that's what our home is for. To be used as a ministry and an opportunity to share Jesus. Folks, more important than inviting them into my home here in Wilsonville is inviting them into my home in heaven. That is provided by Jesus. Folks, I want to ask you today, will you tell someone this week about Jesus? Will you open up your heart and your life and step out on faith and talk to someone about Jesus and invite them to come home with you to heaven? Will you serve your family? Will you serve your friends? Will you serve your church family as we move forward? As we move into this coming year, there are opportunities for service. There are opportunities to meet the needs of the people around us. Will you do that? Will you forgive? Will you open up your heart and forgive? Forgive someone who said something. Forgive someone who's done something. Forgive someone who has hurt you in the past. Let go of what you're holding on to. And let God do something very special in your heart and in your life. Can you do that today? Will you be a Jesus follower? Will you follow Jesus with your whole heart? As we move through this Christmas season into a new year that's coming up very quickly, will you follow Jesus? This altar is open here at the front. I invite you to come today. I'll be here at the front. I'll talk with you, pray with you. Others here. What is Jesus saying in your life and in your heart this morning? Father, as we come before you today, we thank you for who you are. And the love that you show in each one of our lives. Father, as we come to this time today, we ask that you would help us in our lives. Allow you to work in the ways that you see fit. Father, as you are speaking, and you're speaking in different ways to different people in this room, I ask that you would help us to follow you. And allow you to work as only you can. Father, change our lives, change our hearts. We thank you for a heavenly home that you have provided. Father, you're away from home now. We look forward to the day that you call us home. Until that time, I pray that you help us to serve you in your name. Amen. We stand and we sing this time as you come.